opportunity and the privilege and the blessing to gather here again in your name. We ask now as we go forth into this service that we can learn, that we can open our hearts and gain and take the message away today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Birthday.
I'm still younger than you.
David who?
Peel.
Peel?
David Peel.
Peel, okay. All right. add that name to your prayer list, David Peel, the family of David Peel. And your prayer list is pretty complete, I think. I had one other name to add that... We've been debating about whether to add it or not. Harold Hill is suffering some kind of a muscular problem and is pretty seriously ill, I think. So if you would add his name to your list, we would appreciate it. Well, here we are at the 4th of July, almost. And you think about those brave men that signed their names on that Declaration of Independence. They were saying, I'm willing to suffer. I'm willing to give my all for this cause of independence. And many of them did suffer. Some of them gave everything they had to create this nation of ours. Our freedom, we keep being reminded, was bought at a great price. And it's humbling, I think, to visit Camp Nelson Cemetery and view the resting places of men and women who gave their very lives to preserve our liberty once it had been very costly to win in the first place. They gave their lives to preserve it. Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He was speaking about a freedom that's even greater than what we celebrate tomorrow. Greater because it frees us from sin, which no one else could possibly do. Greater because it cost the life of the Son of God. That freedom was costly beyond any measure. So each Lord's Day we celebrate that precious gift. At this table, with bread to remind us that Jesus gave up his body to pay the price for our sins. And the cup to remind us that only his blood can free us from the bondage of sin. He truly is our declaration of independence and freedom.
Communion song on issue number 422. Take time to be heard. Sing a song of praise in your great name, Lord.
Thank you for all the blessings that you've given us this week. Thank you for this great country that you have given us to live in. As we've taken this bread and this cup, which represents your broken body and bloodshed on Calvary's cross for our sins. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for this day and the ability to be here in your house this morning. Lord, you provide us so much to be thankful for. And we are appreciative of the ability to work and to make earn a living. But now, Lord, we return a portion of that, of our good fortune to you in the form of this offering. And we pray that it will be used wisely and we keep your will in mind when it is used for the benefit of this church and the surrounding communities. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.
First song that we have in mind is number 485. 486, I'm sorry. We'll get to 485 next. 486. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountain side let freedom ring. My native country thee, land of the noble free, thy name I love. I love thy rocks and rills, thy woods and templed hills, my heart. Let all their sighs and pray. let's sing 485. All right, just across the page there, America the Beautiful. Singing that song, I just noticed one line in it that jumped out at me. America, God, mend thine every flaw. Confirm thy soul in self-control and thy liberty in law. I think that's something we should be praying about. Our nation does have flaws, and they do need fixing. And self-control and law are important. So, but if you notice, both those songs ask for God's help with this nation because it was founded on faith in God. Our prayer hymn this morning is on the same page, number 487. And we're going to sing just the first verse of God Bless Our Native Land as we stand together for prayer. Gracious God, you are our strength and our Redeemer. You are our everlasting hope. We come humbly to you because our world is troubled and our future at times seems uncertain. Lord, help us to see how sure and unshakable are your promises to your children who are faithful, no matter what their circumstances may be. Give us eyes of faith to see your holy power sweeping aside all the forces of evil. Help us to have patience to wait for that glorious inheritance you have pledged to us through the sacrifice and resurrection of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we ask you to turn our hearts toward you in this hour as we think together on things that are eternal. We pray this all in the name of Jesus, who opens the way into your presence for us. Amen. Well, let's see what we have here in the 10th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. We have some words that are important because in my Bible they are in red. And you know what that means. These are the words of Jesus himself. Beginning at Matthew 10, 28. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Sober words, and certainly serious to think about. When you were in school, I imagine you had to learn the Pledge of Allegiance, didn't you? You probably had to recite it most mornings. And if you were like me, you did it. Because that's what you were supposed to do in school. There's one little phrase in the pledge to our American flag. Two words that completely change the entire thing and give it power. Two words, if you weren't just reciting without thinking what you were saying, these two words would make you stop and think pretty hard about what you're pledging. It's just two words that should never be spoken lightly. You know what they are? I thought somebody would say under God. Well, those are pretty important words. But they're not the two I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about pledge and allegiance, which are, I think, the key to this whole pledge. Shouldn't be something we speak lightly, especially in a society where we value our freedom so highly. Those are pretty important words. Now, in the scripture, we just read a pledge of allegiance from the words of Jesus. And that was truly under God. But this morning, I want to think about what it means when we pledge allegiance, both to our nation and to our Lord. I want you to get the full force of what you're doing when you say that. The first word, pledge, is more than just something you use to help when you're dusting, or when the preacher expects you to cough up something when the money runs short, you know. You know, some churches ask you to make a pledge each year of how much you're going to contribute to the church that year. Well, a pledge is a promise. It's a sacred contract that you fully agree to. Think what it means when you pledge money to your church, or when you pledge money to the local PBS radio station, or when you pledge money for Western Kentucky storm relief. It means, I promise, I will support this, I will give you my money, I will give you my prayers, I promise to do this. I pledge it. Especially out here where we live among a lot of farm people, we know what it means to give our word. It's not something we do lightly. If we break our pledge, people won't trust us. And if we break our pledge, they really shouldn't trust us. Faithfulness, truthfulness, these are things we expect in the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. So we know that we're going to promise something when we make a pledge. But what is it that we're promising? Well, allegiance. Now, back in medieval days, your liege was the guy in the castle who kept you safe by letting you take refuge in his castle when the barbarians came up over the hill and attacked. He promised to protect you with his fortifications and with his life if necessary. And in return, he promised you'd stick by him no matter what. He was the lord of the manor, and you did what he said, or else when the barbarians came, he wouldn't let you in. Whoa. Well, nowadays, there are a lot fewer barbarians around, so we don't have nearly as many legions as we once did, but we have some. And they're pretty important to pledge allegiance. 66 years ago, on June 22nd, 1956, I pledged my allegiance to one woman in particular. I said, no matter what, I'm going to stick with you. Whether we're rich or poor, whether we're healthy or sick, whether our kids go to Harvard or San Quentin, I'm sticking with you. And we promised we'd be there for each other no matter what. And 9 days out of 10, we knew why we made that promise. The 10th day, well, sometimes you just have to remember that you did make the promise. We had two great kids together. It just wouldn't have been fair to say, oh, I'm not in love with you today. You're be on your own, baby. No, that would not be fair because we pledged our allegiance. We pledge our allegiance to our wives or our husbands because we love them and we know they love us. And it doesn't matter if the kids are screaming or tearing down the house. We don't have to worry how we feel about each other because we pledged our allegiance, our loyalty, our faithfulness, our troth, as the old English ceremony has it. Now, when we pledge our allegiance to the flag and the republic for which it stands, we're making the same kind of a declaration. Our country may do things we don't agree with sometimes, but we know it's been good to us. And let's face it, for every scandal or mishap or bad policy that you can find in the newscast, we also know that from in our day-to-day lives, this is a country that does great things. World War II, when we defeated Germany and Japan, what did we do? We helped them rebuild. When there's an earthquake in Afghanistan, what do we do? We send them help. When Russia invades Ukraine, what do? We send them ammunition and weapons. And we're promising when we pledge our allegiance to the flag, we're promising to be loyal to this nation of ours. But as Christians, we have one more allegiance, and it's one that's even better. We've chosen to freely pledge our allegiance, not to our family, which might last 50 years, not to this nation, which hasn't even been around 500 years yet. Rather, we've given our allegiance to God, who has been around every one of the years that's ever been, or ever will be. We pledged our highest allegiance to the highest one of all. Now, some days you might not understand God. Sometimes you might even be angry with God. But try living just a few minutes completely without Him. You can't do it. He's the author of our lives. He's the one who gives us breath to breathe. You can't live without Him. But guess what? An evil God could demand our obedience. He could even force us. But our God doesn't do that. He asks us, He begs us, He pleads with us to choose Him. He woos us like a lover. Most of the time He's so subtle we don't even notice. But sometimes we look out at the garden and we see that little bouquet of daylilies that He gave us. We didn't plant them. But where the wind planted them, sometimes we look at the sunset and we realize He's given us a beautiful picture to hang on the wall of our minds. We breathe in and we smell the scent of chocolate chip cookies. Ooh. The kind that don't even add a pound. Very best kind. He is a good God. He's given us so much. But sometimes there are rivals for our affection, you know. And that's when we ask ourselves, do we really want to pledge our allegiance to God? Sometimes it seemed like it would be so sweet to utter that unkind reply to someone who's insulted us. Oh, wouldn't that feel good? That forbidden fruit always tempts us. God, He's a pushover. Why listen to Him? If we think to ourselves, that God of ours is so unfair. He wants me to love Him more than anybody else. Who does He think He is? God? Well, yeah. Really? Maybe we see an attractive person over yonder, and we just fantasize for a minute, what would it be like if I... No, God simply says no. He says it lovingly, to be sure. But sometimes love means you say no, not just for your own good, but for the other person's good too. Or maybe it's that Sunday morning football game, or that late Saturday night that tells you, stay in bed this morning. Stay at home where it's comfortable and where you're happy. Who wants to hear that boring old preacher read from that dusty old book anyway? But where's your allegiance, really? Where's your allegiance? Or maybe it's direct temptation. Somebody mocks God in front of you and in front of everybody else. God, that's just some narrow-minded, backward superstition. Nobody with any education or sophistication or class believes in God anymore. Are you willing to stand up and say, no, that's my God you're talking about. I've chosen Him and He's been good to me. Or will you just let it slide? Ultimately, every sin you name boils down to just one question. Will you be true to your allegiance to God? Especially on the 4th of July, when you think about allegiance and pledging, Think about loyalty. There's one name that might leap head and shoulders above some of the others. He was only 21 years old when the British took Manhattan. He was a young school teacher, a graduate of Yale University. He signed up for the army right after the Battle of Lexington and Concord. And when General Washington had to retreat from New York, this 21-year-old young man volunteered to stay behind and report on what the British troops were doing. He was a spy. There was nothing dishonorable about that. But on September 21st, 1776, he was caught. And on his body, they found maps and letters that made it clear what he'd been doing. Now, if he'd been wearing his country's uniform, he would have had to be treated like a prisoner of war. However, he was not in uniform, and he could be treated like any other civilian and executed for his crime. The next morning, as he was being led to the gallows, he was asked if he had any regrets. And you and I both know what Nathan Hale replied. I regret that I have but one life to lose for my country. But do you know who turned him in? It was Major Robert Rogers. He was an old American war hero from the French and Indian days. He's the one, really, if any European could be considered a pioneer of hit-and-run, invisible guerrilla warfare, it was Major Robert Rogers. And that was so different from the way that most armies fought at that time, because they just formed a line and advanced, firing their weapons. He didn't do it that way. But he's the one who turned this spy in. But Rogers loved the applause of high society. He also liked to drink and gamble, and he became deep in debt and still intoxicated by the lures of what he was trying to find. He simply sold his allegiance to the highest bidder. He tried to offer his services to George Washington and was refused. So he sold his services to the British. Not altogether unlike that other great American, Benedict Arnold. But unlike Nathan Hale, Robert Rogers didn't realize that sometimes allegiance means you have to give something up. Most of the time when we think about making pledges in order to secure something that's desirable, we ask ourselves, yeah, what have I got to lose? You know? When it comes to a great God like ours, that's a reasonable question, because what he offers is immensely greater than anything he asks us to pledge. Sometimes we forget the admonition of Scripture. The question is not, what have I got to lose? The question is, what have I that I must lose? There's an old life that's not always compatible with the allegiance that you choose when you choose to pledge to God. And in those times that we really must choose, which life am I going to live? That's the choice. Now, all of those guys are dead. Benedict Arnold and Roger Roberts and Nathan Hale. And one of those days we'll be gone too. But if we choose our allegiance well, we can depend on our liege, our Lord of all, to provide everything we need. Ultimately, we choose either loyalty to God or loyalty to ourselves. I don't know which one you're choosing, but I think it's important, and I wanted to remind you this morning. We're going to sing our hymn of invitation, which is 451, number 451, I Surrender All. And as we stand, sing just the first and the last verses. Y'all be careful now and don't blow yourselves up with fireworks. But enjoy your holiday. Let's pray. Lord, you've given us a land which is rich and fertile and full of promise. And in this land, you've given us so many blessings to make our lives rich. But you've also given us a world which desperately needs the saving power of Jesus. And you've given us the word of life to share. For this is the mission to which you have asked us to pledge our allegiance. Keep us faithful to that pledge. We pray it in the blessed name of Jesus himself, our Redeemer and our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.